they're an addition to the existing dogs that we have at the moment, and they're part of a larger package. But this is the biggest part that's arriving today.
How many do we already have here in the country?
We've got six at the moment, six up and running at the moment, and they've been working all the time in Juba. So they've been working in Tomping primarily, but also covering UN House, and occasionally going out to the States to do small tasks out there.
So 37 will be arriving hopefully today.
That's the plan. 37 arriving today, and they're part of a larger package of close to 50 dogs in this new contract.
Tell us, why did ANMAS decide to bring explosive device detection dogs into South Sudan?
Well, we've had dogs here for the last couple of years at a relatively low level, and the dogs are a really effective way of reducing the risk to the mission, reducing the risk to the population, reducing the risk to the people who are living in the POC camps. So it's a very effective way of reducing risk of explosives in those areas. So the dogs are specially trained to detect the scent of explosives, to react when they detect that scent, and that means that you can then follow on and investigate that. So the explosives is a very, the use of explosives here is very broad. So they can be used in search for weapons. Mm-hmm. They can be used for search for explosives. If people are carrying explosives or weapons in cars that are traveling in and out, if people are trying to bring weapons and other explosives into POC camps and so on and so on. We also use them on the baggage control of all the travellers who are going in and out of Juba Airport with the mission, and that will shortly expand to some of the other locations in South Sudan as well.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the specialised dog handlers. Do we have them in the country who will be taking care of these dogs and working with them?
Yeah, again, they're due to arrive. Excuse me. They're due to arrive over the next couple of days. So basically, one handler will be working with two dogs. So a team consists of one dog. One handler and two dogs. And there's an awful lot of work involved in pairing those, getting the dogs to know the handlers, getting the handlers to know the dogs, and building their capacity and building their confidence to work as a team. But once that team is forged, once that team is well established, you have a really, really effective capacity.
Let's look at the impact that these dogs will cause to the work of ANMAS here in the country. How big is an impact that these dogs will cause?
Well, the intention of the project is to expand the capacity throughout the country. As I said earlier, at the moment the dogs are based in Juba, and six dogs is only able to cover a relatively small amount of security. With the larger number, we'll be able to cover a much larger area. Mm-hmm. So there will be dogs based in Tomping. There will be dogs based in UN House. There'll also be dogs based in Bentiu, Malakal and Bor, with the potential for deployment in other areas of the country as well. So that will certainly increase the capacity, the ability of us to provide extra security for mission and civilians within this country as well.
It might have cost a fortune for these dogs to be here. Tell us about the money part of it. How much did it cost to bring these dogs to South Sudan?
I think the thing to focus on is the value that you get from these dogs. If you were to ask a human or a machine to do the same sort of job, the investment would be much, much more significant. So with a relatively small investment, you can achieve a really effective result. So dogs are not that expensive, but you can send them in many places. They can work in environments where it's quite difficult to get machines, technology, and people working. So it's a far more effective use of resources to use these dogs.
Tell us, just for someone listening right now and don't know about how these dogs work, with the handler as a team of three, you did mention. Now, if they detect there is a weapon here on an explosive, how does it behave, and how do people get to know that, well, something must be around here that the doctor, how do they communicate to the handler?
It's basically body language. I mean, clearly they don't speak English, they don't speak Spanish, Portuguese, whatever. So it's body language. So the dog is trained to respond in a certain way, and the traditional approach, and there are a number of different ways, but the traditional approach is simply for when the dog detects a piece of explosive or whatever it's trained to work on. Normally the dog just stands still, sits down, and the handler is responded to deal is trained to deal with that. Mm-hmm. So there's as much work on the handler as there is on the dog. It's just that the dog has a nose many, many times more sensitive than the handler. So they work as a team. The dog goes forward. There is an indication, whether it's sitting down or whether it's standing still and looking directly at the handler. When that indication occurs, the handler then goes in and deals with the situation. And it depends on the environment and how you deal with that. But primarily, it's body language. The dog is trained to respond in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Tim, just before you go, what will be your final message to the people listening in right now and living in the communities where these dogs will be deployed?
I think it's I think it's going to be a fascinating project. The dogs are, they're safe, they're friendly. They are working dogs, so they're not dogs that that are pets. They're not mm-hmm. dogs that should be patted or touched in passing. They're working dogs, and to allow them to focus on the work, you need to allow them to do that. But they are happy, healthy dogs. They're vaccinated against all diseases. They're completely safe and friendly. And they will provide that extra layer of security mm-hmm. to anyone who's working in those environments. So, if I could just also take this opportunity just mm-hmm. to remind everybody of the message that we bring out every time. Unexploded ordnance and mines in this country are a real hazard and a real threat to the population. We have, UNMAS has a hotline number, which if anybody does find any UXO, anybody does come across any mines, if you can't report it in the normal way, we have a telephone number that we would ask you to call. Mm-hmm. And that number's 092 000 1055.